Andreessen thinks it's the long-term impact of COVID, the pandemic, and people working from home and virtually is more significant than anything. I mean, that's his view.
Well, you know, when he talked about this, I you know, I read that piece before, even before you posted that or you gave me that article, and I the whole notion of this, you know, limiting the geographic lottery, which is a really interesting idea. Take that to its extent. I mean, talk about globalization of talent. You know, you can find the best talent all over the world, pay maybe less, well under Silicon Valley rates, but well above local rates. You know,
well, that's the same theme though. We heard the Mike. Remember that interview you did with Afif last year from Sochi?
Yeah.
Right. His theme. What was his point that he made on that?
Well, so that was right at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And they're in Austin, but he was like, we're like kind of natively primed for this whole thing because we've had this sort of hybrid thing already. And my whole point is you hire talented people, you hire self-motivated people, and they don't have to be under your physical watch. And if you do that right, it's just a lot more efficient, which is counterintuitive to the way that everyone's been trained to think for the last, you know, century of white collar business, which is, you know, you have an office, everyone comes in Monday through Friday, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's the same lesson we've been talking about and learning the last full year. But his point was, you know, I think this is going to reveal some great sort of business tactics. And we've been kind of doing this all along. I think that was his point.
Yeah. It was all about it was about hiring the best people where they work. Hiring the best you can find where you work.
Yeah, that idea isn't entirely new. I mean, Mike, you and Neil and I know that full well from the Kelsey experience. But
handicap yourself by limiting your own recruiting pool to those that are within 50 miles.
Right, but that's, you know, some businesses will have a harder time getting over that. But one is like when I talk to some of these startups in, you know, like South Africa. Or even like, you know, East Africa, they say one of the things they're facing now is that the best talent is gotten way more expensive there because, you know, Silicon Valley or New York is hiring them sometimes on a freelance basis, but sometimes, you know, as employees to do development work, you know, and that means that the local startup is having a hard time finding developer talent that they can afford because it's being bought up by international companies.
But is that Charlie, when you talk to those folks, is it because of the segment from development aspect versus all the different other parts of the business?
Well, I don't think it's happening as much, say, in it might be happening anything that kind of doesn't I'm not sure it's happening in marketing, you know. Not, you know, it's handled probably mostly in coding and maybe some product stuff. You know, but I think it's mostly like the hardcore developers, you know?
Yeah. Cause that makes sense. Now is that a trend, Charlie, that takes away, like if you look at all the companies that have their dev shops and customer support services, all those things, India was a big place, right? A lot of companies.
India, Ukraine is big, I think.
Yeah. So the offshore dev was a big thing.
I think you'll start seeing more of it in like Nigeria.
But is it offshore dev in terms of because with India you worked or Ukraine you worked with a company that had a bunch of people, so
work for like a third party company that outsources.
So is a trend more for from what you're hearing more about just getting the individual developers to report into a team now?
I think it's a little of both. All I know is what I was hearing it from the side of the, you know, the Nairobi based startup doing a fintech, you know, product, saying I'm having trouble finding engineering talent that isn't charging US rates, you know. And they may be working through a third party that's outsourcing their services to that Silicon Valley company, but they're getting paid what they consider, it's probably at the lower end of US rates, you know, but it's way above what, you know, they're used to getting paid, you know, locally. But that's just to the point of what Andreessen was saying. It's like, if you take that to its logical extent, there's, you know, potentially, you know, companies will have, you know, talent spread all over the world, which is already happening, but you can see the barriers to that dropping, you know, considerably.
And that was his point.
Yeah, and then you know what that creates huge opportunities for people in places where you were not winners of the geographic lottery because you're looking at somewhere nobody cares about or nobody certainly wants to launch a major business or whatever, or certainly nobody wants to invest VC dollars in, or I think that's changing, but still.
Well, that helps startups too, because
Yeah.
you can now start a company in Montana and not have to move to
Right. Yeah,
Silicon
just within
Valley
the,
to
yeah,
be.
exactly.
Yeah.
Just within the US, just think about, forget the international piece, just within the US, that's exactly what, you know, it's been happening, but I think it's going to accelerate. You know, the Missoula-based SaaS startup, which
Yeah.
wasn't a thing before, you know. But
It's,
the
it'll
all, you
come
know,
up
the
with some
founders want to
like,
live in Missoula and they don't give a damn where everyone
it'll come
else
up with
lives.
some like
Yeah.
Silicon Mountain or Silicon
Well,
something, right?
yeah, well, there's already the Silicon, what's the one in Utah again? It's Silicon Slopes. And
Yeah.
then I forgot what else. You got Silicon Prairie somewhere. Maybe that's Chicago. I don't even know.
So is that a trend of the picking up from the pandemic world of virtual, or is that also partially to deal coming off of companies that have shifted out of Silicon Valley, whether they're going to Austin, they're going to
Yeah.
XYZ, Salt Lake City, like our friends at Scorpion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because those companies are divesting from the Silicon Valley or the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, it's too expensive and it's no longer beneficial because since things are remote, you no longer need to be near, you know, Sand Hill Road and, you know, the whole sort of business development ecosystem.
Yeah.
I
And so
see.
it's a
And it's a
benefit. Yeah.
highly taxed area, you know. I mean,
Yep.
a lot of it's the tax model.
You
I
know what,
mean,
but what I think Mike hit on it just a second ago, which is Sand Hill Road, the real what breaks that seal is that notion that you have to be close to your investors.
yeah,
That's gone,
right.
and that really is gone. And so when you take that away, then it's like, okay, why do I need to be here where everybody wants 100K at least, and then everyone, you know, and then my taxes are through the roof, and you know, cost of living is
Well,
crazy, my rent's crazy. Why do this if I don't have to be within 20-minute drive of my VC, you know.
yeah, and so to back to the point of the big guys. So as the bigger companies move, there
Tesla.
is no, yeah. There is no. I have to be here anymore because the big companies don't be there. Why would the little companies need to move there to move out? And from a VC perspective, you've gotten private equity. You've gotten used to the concept these companies aren't there. And now all of a sudden, your startup, by virtue of not being there, is more profitable quickly, more quicker, right? Without having to pay those things. So it's a pandemic trend, but from two ways, right? Is it the fact that the increased taxes kind of starting to kick out, whether it's from a tax base or companies looking at it, saying that from a lifestyle basis, if we move over here, we can afford the money goes further for folks, right? Or is it the virtual? We got used to manage a virtual, so we can do this better. So are those things more the forward direction the companies go in? And you look at the pandemic effects being the dual, right? Managing remote versus the trends of getting away from the higher tax areas now. And does that influence the up-and-coming companies in terms of where they're located and what they do?
I think what all of this hinges on is, you know, the world just went through this huge thing, obviously, and it's very at the forefront of our minds, and we've changed our like expectations for, you know, VC meetings no longer have to happen in person, all of these factors. If all that sustains, then yes to all of the above. If in 2 years we all sort of just forget and gravitate back towards the other way things used to be, then no. I think a lot hinges on that, like
Yeah,
how much it
yeah.
sticks out in our minds and our behavior.
But you got to think a new class of people run, you know, the managing partners at VCs who are, you know, been through this year and have realized that you know, we don't have to go back to the way we did it before.
Well,
If they're running the like the older VCs probably like, you know, I don't like this.
yeah.
I want them to come here and kiss the ring or whatever it is.
Yeah, it might be generational.
Yeah. Look, we may have like in the you know throes of this overestimated how little you know commercial real estate would recover or how poorly it would recover. I think it might recover a little better than maybe we thought, you know, in September 2020 or something. It's still not going to come back to anything close to where it was. But we are definitely are seeing companies go back, but seeing massive ones just say we're going 100%. you know, do whatever the hell you want. And a lot of that is coming from the employees. I think the pressure is coming from employees saying, you know, we want the flexibility. We have it, and now we're not giving it back, you know?
Well, yep. But the only thing that can happen there, though, is companies can go and say, well, too bad, then I'll get someone else.
Oh, sure. And, but right? Is the labor
market... And if they're quality people, they'll find other work.
They'll find other work. It'll just move and shift. Because it was interesting. I mean, was making the point about the changes in where things go. September 11th, right? When all that hit, no one was going to get on a plane. How long did it take before people forgot that we're back on planes and everything's back to normal?
It was weeks, months at most.
Yeah. So I think the real question is...
We're still taking our shoes off in security.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, so we're still doing certain things, but we've forgotten why we do that. We just do it because you have to. It's not that, oh, September 11th, all these people, this thing happened, here's this big terror. All that stuff's gone. Here's the thing. Do companies use what's happened in the pandemic as an excuse
to cut costs,
to compensate for the bottom line that they're not achieving this year? You follow? Right? So if I say, yeah, you can't travel, I can't do this, I can't do that, the question is, in a year from now, will that change? So you've got companies, this is, I don't know who I was talking to someone last week, early this week or late last week, we were talking about, and this is a big, I think I may be talking to you guys about it too as well, but the fact that I was talking to Chad over Yelp, right? And we were talking about all the PE activity going on, right? And what the summer will hold, right? And normally, and we were talking about this too, about a potentially quiet summer, but I don't think it's going to be a quiet summer. I think you see more and more of these acquisitions going on because these companies are missing their revenue targets. And some of them can go out and acquire. Others of them are going to use this as the excuse, at least for now, to say, hey, yeah, you know, this and that, we shouldn't be traveling, let's do this. Let's keep the costs down somehow.
Hey, but Bill, I would argue a lot of these were, the pandemic only shed light on their problems. It did not, it is not the cause of their problem.
No. I would agree. I'm entirely 100% with you, Neil. The pandemic did, like, bad business models are bad business models, right? If you're driving a car with a flat tire or 80% flat tire, if you're driving, sooner or later, the tire blows.
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes when times are good or when a category is new, like the initial growth that comes fairly easily over kind of papers over those problems. And then once you hit a bump.
Yeah. So the question is, are the folks that refrain from the travel and all these other things right now, the ones that had a rocky something anyway?
Well, but the thing is, there's no, even if you said, go ahead and travel, there was nowhere to travel to or no one to go see, you know? So go ahead, Neil.
I mean, United seems pretty bullish that things are going to come back. No, they're hiring people. Yeah. And so I think there's going to be travel.
The point is that what has happened up to this point was kind of like, you had no choice but to cut it, you know, because there was nowhere to go. But that's no longer, that's starting to be, you know, that's opening
up. Yeah.
So the question is then, will people travel? Like my point earlier that I think, you know, these sort of, you know, hey, go shake hands with Bob at the plant, you know, in face to face. You got to look him in the eye to make this deal. I think that's kind of gone, or at least diminished. But that doesn't mean, I mean, in our world, we hear all the time that people are anxious to get back to fill in the pipeline with, you know, live events, that there's no, there's no replacement for that.
Yeah. But I think to your point, Charlie, the live events are different. That's a different piece depending on what the event is.
Yeah.
But the other piece of this, and I've seen this time and time again, right? There are years, different companies I've been at, where I got beat by the company that was physically there.
Yeah.
Enough that, right? And it's the age old question, right? And this is SMB versus enterprise, it's a different beast, right?
Yeah.
But if you're doing the enterprise level deals, right? Do I do business with a company?
Or
am I doing business with someone I know?
Well, yeah, and it depends how insular the world is that you operate in, I think, to some degree. But no, look, the minute somebody starts getting beat by the guy who will get on the plane, they'll get on the plane too.
Yeah,
that's how it'll ratchet back up, just based on that competition.
Yeah.
Right. And if I don't know you, I don't remember. Great, you're doing it virtual, but when's the last time we sat across and had that conversation? Like I was talking to the folks at GM last week, 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, GM. And we had three people from their data side. Mm-hmm. And they're dying to get on a plane. They are allowed, very shortly allowed to start traveling, right?
Yeah.
And they said there's nothing more important than being able to go to their partner's offices and sit there and talk to them and read them when you talk. On the camera, you can't tell.
You could be right. I may be overestimating how much of that goes away. I feel like, you know, if you're closing deals on Zoom and you can continue closing deals on Zoom, maybe you don't bring all that travel back. Maybe you put it higher up the pyramid of deal value. It all depends on, you know, if your insistence on sticking with virtual is costing you business, then that goes away. I don't think there's any question. And some just want to do business that way. But you have to have two sides to that equation, you know. You may want to go out and see your partner, but they may not want you to come in. They may want to move more to, let's make, you know, the whole, that could have been an email, should probably become, that could have been a Zoom.
Yeah, I think it's not a slam, definitely not a slam dunk that it comes back, but I don't think it's a slam dunk that it doesn't. It's a different world.
That's pretty fair. That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. It's a different world, and I think you're going to find out over the next few months how things set up, right? Mm-hmm. And how quick we forget, and how badly companies start missing numbers.